Hello, everybody. Thank you for tuning in at 107.7 FM New Orleans. I am your host tonight on What the Frick Lab, Emily Mintzhouse, and I have Mr. Will Martinez with me from Dark Fringe Radio. Hey, Will.
Hey, good evening. How are you?
I'm delaying a little bit, Anna. That's Appalachia. It's Appalachia. Everybody, I'm still having tech problems. So please be patient with me. I am actually going to call my internet provider tomorrow. I pay way too much for my internet to do these things and still have issues. So I'm going to figure out what is going on. But hopefully everybody had a wonderful week. This is the last week of May already.
Oh my gosh. Already in the middle of summer already. Is that nuts?
Oh gosh. June. Summer's going to go by so fast. I feel like it was the last day of school for kids here in the area. Mm-hmm. I let my son skip the last day of school because all his buddies are like, they're not going. So I was like, okay, I don't need your report card. I see it on, he's straight A, A and B student. So he's good. Yeah. So he's out running around with his friends right now playing basketball and things. So
good.
Yeah. But anyway, Will has a show called Dark Fringe Radio 2 podcast. Can you let us know what's going on over there with you?
Yeah. Last week we had a show we did on Pavegla Island, which is an island off of the Venetian coast of Italy. Very haunted place. And so we talked about that. And today we actually came out with another episode when we interviewed the psychic medium Valentina Marie. And she's a really interesting person. She had a very interesting career in Hollywood and had kind of like a traumatic brain injury, kind of almost it was like an incident that happened. And then all of a sudden after that, she started to kind of like develop her extrasensory powers, all the five C's, you know, as they say. But nonetheless, it's a great interview. Check it out, darkfringeradio.com. And of course, our merch store there as well. With all our t-shirts, just like this one. This is the Dark Fringe Space Force t-shirt. So, yeah, check it out. So, yeah.
Not the five C's when it comes to, not the five, when I hear five C's, I think of diamonds, where I used to sell diamonds.
Yes,
cut, yes, yes. Clarity, color.
Right.
Yeah, all color, that stuff. Right, well, yeah. I mean, that could possibly go with some, you know, psychic mediums too. Check out their cut.
Well, like clairsentient, clairvoyant, all those. There's like a five of them. So yeah, she has like four of the five. So it's interesting. Very interesting interview.
Well, anyway, we are streaming live here on Facebook, LinkedIn, YouTube, Twitter, and Rumble. Mm-hmm. If you are watching via StreamYard or via Facebook and you leave some comments, because we always ask for comments, it keeps us in the algorithm of Facebook, and it comes up just a Facebook user and doesn't show your image. You got to go to StreamYard.com/Facebook to give permission. I know it's terrible, but we like to see who we're talking to because towards the end of the show, whoever sends me their picture on my email, and I'll put it up, you're going to have a facing by Chris Shelton. This is a part three episode. I have very, very rarely have a part three, like two and done. But this is a part three because he's super talented. He's helped me in a lot of ways. I follow him everywhere too on social media. But he's a master influence teacher, healer, clinical director of Healthy Athletes with Strong Minds. He has a motto, which I love it because I say it all the time too. If I can do it, you can too. And he reads faces. He's read all kinds of faces on his social media pages. So we're going to bring Chris on because this is what we're going to be focusing on. If you missed part one and two, it's all on my website. It's everywhere. Links up here a little bit later on, but it's strictly face reading, and he's going to have a class coming up too. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to bring Chris on right now. Chris Shelton, Qigong.
Hey.
I don't have my thing. I got a whole new board, and it didn't connect tonight. I have an applause on there. I was gonna hit the button.
Oh, do you?
applause. But thank you. Yes. Yes, I That's love amazing. It. I bought this. It works great on Google Meet. I've been on Google Meet all week for work, and then I hook up to this tonight, and I hear echoes and all that stuff. I said, forget it, I'm not hooked up to it. So I was really busy tonight, but thank you so much for coming on the show. Real quick, before we get into face readings, can you tell people about how you got involved with face readings?
So initially I got involved with face reading because years ago I went to a Chinese New Year celebration at Yosan University here in Los Angeles, California. Yosan University is a prestigious acupuncture college, and a Taoist master by the name of Master Hua Jingyi, he's the gentleman who started Yosan. And then from there, they started also the Tao Wellness Center, which is in Santa Monica in Pasadena, California. His sons, Dr. Tao and Dr. Mao, both run those. Anyways, I was at a Chinese New Year celebration, and a friend of mine that was studying Qigong with me in Tai Chi, with my previous instructor, I knew part of her story. She had come from Vietnam, and she really, the family had to struggle. They barely got out alive. So I knew her background. Anyways, so after the Chinese New Year celebration, they said, okay, we have different booths. You know, you guys could go and do I Ching readings, etc. And I saw that there was this Chinese face reading. And this guy, the student, started calling out things on her that were true. I'm like, wow, how does he know this about her? And so I thought, wow, that's really intriguing, because she didn't know the guy, and this guy was calling things out. He wasn't a psychic or anything. He was just reading certain features on the face. And, you know, Yosan was one of the few universities, they don't do it anymore, I don't believe, but that was teaching face reading, because face reading was developed thousands of years ago because Chinese doctors thought it was inappropriate to touch women to diagnose them. So they had come up with a way of diagnosing, besides using the tongue and observation and such. And the face tells a story. It tells us different features on the face, like your nose, your cheeks and stuff, all connect to different internal organs of the body. And once you memorize that, then you start to dive deeper and recognize that different features, like the size of your nostrils, for example, will tell us things like how giving you are or how stingy you are, you know, and stuff like that. And so anyways, that's how I started to dive in deep. And I bought Lillian Bridges' book back then. That was the book that Yosan was using. They said they didn't really agree with some of her pictures that she used, but the information was really legit. And so being in clinical practice, you know, I just started my clinical practice. And so what I would do is that I would focus on a certain feature and study it, like maybe the size of the eyebrows. And when patients would come in, I would ask them certain questions, like if they have short eyebrows, like, you don't have very many friends, do you? You're like, oh, wow, how'd you know that? It's your breath. No, just kidding. It's actually your eyebrows. And so overseeing, you know, hundreds of clients, you start to realize that, oh, this is actually legit. And people, you know, so I'd ask these leading questions like, oh, your father had more of an influence than your mother. Yeah, how'd you know that? And you start to see it and you realize, like, this is legit because it's accurate. Over and over and over and over again. So that's the long short of how I got started.
Well, that's awesome and amazing. And you talked about nostrils there for real quickly. How much is the bigger the nostril, the bigger you are?
Yes.
Because what's funny is my mom's like, this is what my mom told me. I'm 42 years old, everybody. My mom's like, man, your nostrils are getting big. I'm not joking. If she's watching right now, she may make a comment. I was like, well, thanks, Mom. I'm like, what? Who looks at someone's nostrils? But I am a giver, though. I am a giver. And yeah. I give to strangers a lot more than I give to my friends. I hate to say this. I give a lot to strangers. Like, that don't. I love the unexpected, like, gift giver. And, like, I don't even tell them my name or anything. I just give it to them or donate or whatever I can. So is the bigger the nostril, the more of a giver you are, or is it?
Yeah, but also if you're, whether or not you're able to see the nostrils. So there's a couple little tricks to it. Yeah. So the bigger the nostrils, the more giving you are with your money, energy, and time. Yeah. Just a couple of weeks ago, we were at our friend's church in South Central LA. And for any viewers that don't know South Central, it's not a pleasant neighborhood. It's just, you know, people are struggling And so anyway, so he said, Pastor Eitan, he said, or Apostle Eitan, he said, you know, as they're giving the tithing, you know, people are struggling. So I'm watching how much is going into the basket, right? And he goes, I'm going to just put it out there right now. No more $1 bills, no more fives. He goes, I want $1,000. He goes, I want $1,000. And I'm going to put it out there. I want to raise $1,000 from this tithing today. And I'm paying attention to what's going on, you know, and a dollar for some folks, that's a stretch, right? It's a stretch. And so I told Pastor Eitan at the very end, I said, you know, I said, whatever you're short, I said, you just let me know what that is and I'll make up the difference. Mm-hmm. And my wife said, are you giving away the bank? Like, what are you doing? You know, and
can you do that for my birthday? That's why I would if I was your wife, I'd be like, can you do that for my birthday? I'm gonna take up an offering and whatever I don't get, my husband's gonna match.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And so anyways, you know, and actually they actually did raise, you know, more than what I thought, and it turned out to only be $400, you know. But but the point is that this is just part of my nature. Right. I tip if the service is good. I tip, you know, really well and stuff. Mm-hmm. If I see somebody struggling, I'm the one that will stop and get involved. When other people are walking the other way, I'm the one walking towards it. And that's just part of the nature. And so if you have small nostrils, for example, and you want to change that, then start to change how reserved you are or protective you are over your money, and start to really develop this attitude of gratitude, of being able to give, and giving without an expectation of return, but just giving because, you know, it's just a good thing to do. It just feels good just to give, and the universe responds abundantly.
Absolutely.
Oh, it does. It does. You get 100-fold back in many, many times. Like, I have so much testimony, but this is not what tonight's about. But that's interesting. You brought up the nostrils because I turned 42 in March, and that was one of the first things that my mom said to me after I turned. She's
like, your nostrils are getting big.
At least it wasn't your butt. Like, at least it wasn't your butt was getting big.
Yeah.
No, my dad says that. He's like, man, Emily gained a lot of weight. My parents, I love them. They're good. Everybody know, please. I have great parents. But it's like the next thing, I'm like, earlobes, because people's earlobes get bigger. But anyway, that's it. Interesting that we've talked about that with the nostrils. Will, I'll have you have a follow-up question.
Yeah, no, I do. Hey, Chris, and thanks for joining us tonight. Listen, have you been in a situation where, like, you're dealing with something, like maybe a stressful situation, and then, like, your mind goes into all of a sudden reading somebody because you're trying to kind of decipher whether this person is maybe kind of, like, telling you the truth or not?
That's a really good question. Yeah, you know, I've been in those situations. Yeah. And then what it does is then, because especially if somebody is acting out, the common thing for most of us mortals is to react, right? But when you start to read the face and you start to say, oh, well, look at all that past regret and sorrow that they have. And because of all that past regret and sorrow, this turned, this manifested as anger. But the other thing, the underlying component of it is hurt. And so what it does is it develops your compassion because you recognize, like, oh, this person is coming from a place he or she is struggling.
Sincere, right, yeah.
Struggling. And so instead of reacting, you know, with the same kind of aggressiveness or whatever, you take a step back and you take a pause and grant some grace and you say, okay, well, I see this person now and I see who you are, and so we're going to work with what is going on and see if we could de-escalate this situation and change the paradigm, change the lens. And then also go along that question, you know, I've had a situation. I taught for Marvell Semiconductor in the Silicon Valley in San Francisco Bay Area. I started with them when they were a very small company. And so, you know, 11 years of teaching with them, I grew with them as they grew and expanded and took over Yahoo's old buildings and finally 3Com's buildings. And in 11 years, I had never missed one class in 11 years.
Oh, wow.
And so I had great support from HR there at Marvell. And so I remember at one, at one point, HR was running the fitness area. So I was teaching Tai Chi, Chen style Tai Chi. I was teaching weapons also. Mm-hmm. And I had a very, all my students were very loyal. And then they got, I think it was Club One or something like that. He came in, they took over the fitness. Anyways, that manager or whatever, she obviously had some kind of agenda. And on the first time meeting her, I saw that she had sharp inner canthuses of in the corners of her eyes. So I realized, like, oh, eventually, like right now she's being nice to me, but eventually she's like going to use
the inside.
Yes.
Like the inside closest to your nose.
To the nose.
Yeah.
But they pointed downwards. Super and you see that a lot. Yeah. They pointed downwards. So I knew eventually it was going to show up. So long story short, sure enough, what she did was that she told HR that my Tai Chi class wasn't doing good. And then she tried to put me and all my students in a room with all the spin bikes. Well, have you ever done Tai Chi before? Weapons.
You can't do that in there. Yeah.
Yeah. And so, but what she didn't understand is that I had the, because of my sincere obligation to the students, and there was a mutual respect between the company and myself, what she tried to pull didn't work. But my point is that I knew at some point from reading the inner canthuses of her eye that she would use things against me when she got to know me more in order to try to benefit herself. And that's what happened. And she didn't last a few weeks. She was let go a few weeks after that whole incident.
That's interesting.
Well, they say, you know, the window to the soul is the eyes. So is that, if you would tell somebody, Chris, if we're trying to look at someone's face, is the eyes the predominant feature that we need to look at? Or is there something else that might be more subtle that we should look at and possibly trying to discern if anyone could possibly be negative in our life?
Well, yes, the eyes do. And in fact, most people don't realize this, but your left eye is what connects to your soul. So if you're looking at somebody and you really want to connect with them, look, stare in with your left eye, especially connect to their left eye. And they say, we actually, in my Qigong teacher training course in level 2, we do a partnering exercise of where we ask the question, who are you? Over and over again, you're partnered up with somebody. And one of the prerequisites is, besides grounding and connecting, is connecting to the left eye of your partner, because then you're really tapped into them. But the eyes, yes, and the eyes will tell us the state of mind of a person. For example, so even though the eyes themselves are influenced from the liver and what we call the wood element or the liver, the heart also plays an influence as well too. So the more bright and sparkly a person's eyes are, the more intact their spirit is. So if you see somebody with dull, lusterless eyes, then what that means is that their mind is disturbed.
I call them dead eyes.
Yeah, they're disturbed.
I call them dead eyes is what I call them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're mentally disturbed.
I've seen that clinical, a lot.
Yeah, you'll see it with like people that are homeless on the street that are talking to themselves, rambling on. You see that their eyes are kind of glazed over and such. And the clinical manifestation or diagnosis, they call it phlegm fire or obstructing the heart, which obstructs the mind. So yeah, so the more bright and glistening a person's eyes are, then the more intact their mind body is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay,
well,
but
real quick,
I didn't really
I have, oh, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, Chris, so the eyes are one thing that you can look at, but it just depends on what's important to you and what it is that you're looking for. Are you looking for the health of the person? Are you looking about establishing a relationship, business relationship or romantic relationship? What is it that you're looking for? And then that, if you narrow that down, then I could tell you which feature to look at first. Mm. But if you see somebody with foggy
we'll come
eyes.
To that real quick. I just want to say, buggy eyes. I think of thyroid because I have thyroid issue. So my eyes, I have lid lags sometimes when I have a flare up. So my whites of my eyes will like when I move my eye up and down when I have a flare up, then it shows like I call it crazy eyes. It looks like I'm crazy eyes. I swear. You watch Orange Is the New Black on Netflix, like I'm crazy eyes. But it's called, my doctor told me it was lid lag from thyroid syndrome.
and I would call it burning the candles at both ends and draining your adrenal system.
Mm.
Well, I could possibly agree with that if I could tell you more and you want to be my therapist. But real quick, anybody that's listening or watching, my email is Emily T. It's different from my Stakely 313, S-T-A-K-E-L-Y 313 Gmail. If you send me a picture of yourself, you want a reading, we'll pull it up here in a little bit, because Chris said he would do one or two of them for us. And we love all the listeners or viewers. Here, just send it to my email. I'll check it in about 15 minutes. But and then Chris is having his own class that he mentioned before that's coming up. That's a new face reading class. If you don't mind, tell people about that again, Chris.
Okay, so it's a face reading class. It's a 6-week class. It starts June 14th, 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. It's on Zoom as well as live. So if you're in California, you want to join us live, that's fantastic. But if you want to join us from Zoom, that's amazing as well, too. And the fun thing is that each week we will be covering different features on the face. Like one week we'll be covering like the nose or the eyebrows and the eyes and the lips, the cheeks, the ears, you know. And so the fun thing about this class is that it's fun to be able to read the personalities of other people. But I'll be honest with you, this class is really an introspection into yourself.
Mm.
Yeah, it's really an introspection into yourself. And so, and the cool thing too is that once you take the class, it's like I said, it's 6 Wednesdays, then you have the recordings for lifetime. So it's not like, so if you, you go live if you want. And the main thing is that if you can't join the class that night, let's say last minute, you're like, oh man, I don't have a, you know, I have to work later, whatever. You have the recordings for a lifetime. So it's not like, after that 6 weeks is over, because I am giving a lot of information. There are handouts. I have cheat sheets, you know, when we're covering like all the different eye shapes, for example, or mouth shapes, for example, mm-hmm. where you go back and study like little quick little glances, like what does it mean when somebody's mouth turns down? Or what does it mean when a person has a crooked mouth or they have lines bisecting their lower lip, you know? And so, so that's the fun thing. But like I said, it's really introspection into yourself. But if you're looking to get into a personal relationship, let's say you're looking to hire somebody
mm-hmm.
and you have trade secrets that you don't want them to share, how to look at their face to see whether or not they'll share those trade secrets more easily or not.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty interesting.
Mm. Oh yeah.
John, I'm glad you say it. I'm a director of hiring, though. I know what I'm going to start looking for. Next few weeks. Will, do you have a follow-up question? And then we got some faces too. We're gonna go into it and see what I don't know if Chris knows these people or not, but they are pretty popular in true crime and reality TV and possibly a political person that we're gonna pull up here. But I'll have Will ask you another question if he has anything to ask.
Yeah, one more thing, Chris. So you know, have you ever found yourself in a situation where, you know, you've told somebody something maybe when they were not expecting it because you were able to read their face right away and maybe they were dealing with something and then all of a sudden you're saying, well, listen, the reason why is this, 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 and this. I mean, has that, you know, ever happened to you?
Well, it happens to me almost all the time in clinical practice because mm-hmm. part of the diagnostic process is Q&A and you know, and some people, like my patient earlier today, she was very open and transparent about her past and what kind of struggles that she had. And so I didn't really have to use the face reading to diagnose too much because she was like an open book. It's the clients or the patients that are in denial of the self that makes it more challenging, because when I see a feature on the face, and my job is not to force feed people like, hey, you still have mommy issues or daddy issues. My job is to present that I'm seeing this, so possibly it's still there, you know? Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, there's some things that will tell us, for example, like just a current thing that's going on. Maybe there's a slight discoloration in certain parts of the face. That will tell us what organ is out of balance right now. There's some kind of blood stagnation or chi stagnation or combination. And generally speaking, you know, when we look at the face, it's normally stuff that's accumulated over years, especially lines, certain lines or whatever. Mm-hmm. And, But I have, when people do ask me to read their face in public, let's say if I'm at a party or whatever, and somebody says, oh yeah, Chris reads faces, and they'll say, read my face. I'm like, well, be careful what you wish for, because as we say in face reading, we all are born with positive attributes, and we all have things that we need to still work on, you know, or skeletons in our closet. And one of the funny stories, I was given a talk to trauma nurses and doctors from three major hospitals in the San Francisco Bay Area. This was several years ago, Kaiser, Valley Medical, and Regional Hospitals. And there's about 70 doctors and nurses in the room. And so they called up the keynote speaker right before me was a top brain surgeon from Stanford talking about brain traumas and hematomas. I'm like, oh man, how am I going to compare to this? How am I going to be able to relate to this group, you know? And so I like, Chris, just own it. So anyways, I got up there, and sure enough, I had some people like this, you know, like, oh, what's your credentials and stuff. And so to solidify the talk, and the main thing about the talk was certain lines. This is the fascinating thing. This is pretty progressive. Certain lines that we see on the face that indicate specific disease that now Western medicine is now starting to agree with. That's why I was there talking. I thought that was so cool to see that integration.
Oh, awesome.
I do believe in integrative medicine. I believe that's a combination of both. Anyway, so they called up a couple of trauma nurses, and one of the doctors or nurses came up at the end of the talk. She punched me in the shoulder. She goes, Chris, you have to have a muzzle on your mouth. And what happened was that I was just being honest, trying to solidify the talk. And the one gal comes up there, and I'm reading her face. I said, oh, so you're a very giving person, hence the reason why you work in trauma in the ICU. But I said, you're awfully mean to your husband. And the whole audience went, oh, and her friends were like, oh. And she goes, well, and
the husband's back there giving you a thumbs up. It's like, yes.
I said, well, maybe not as much in public, but behind closed doors, he's in for it, you know. And so be careful what you ask.
That's great.
So funny. Oh my God.
Unbelievable. You know, a lot of people do that though, behind closed doors. It's a lot of behind closed doors, because I've been there, I've done it. I've even been somebody that did that a few times behind closed doors that I'm very embarrassed by, you know, ultimately. But I'm gonna bring up these faces that I put together real quick for you, Chris, while my internet's good. Now, this person is not mainstream, all right? But it deals with a high true crime story that's going on now. And I will tell you, it deals with the state of Idaho. Her name is Emma Bailey. And these are the best pictures I could get. She is arrested. She is in jail. So that's the picture here on the left-hand side. And then the other one was where she was being questioned before she was arrested. What can you tell us? She's 22. I'll tell you that. So I'm not worried about wrinkles or anything like that with her, but what can you tell us, if you can tell us anything about off these images?
Well, number one, she has a manipulative mind, and we could tell that because if you see the picture of her, the white blouse, and you can kind of see it from the straight on view, her forehead slants back slightly. So it means that number one, the size of her forehead tells us that she's a thinker. She's up in her head a lot, planning, thinking, and stuff. But also, she's also one that can manipulate as well, too, very easily. And she uses her mind in this way to get things that she wants. And the other thing, too, she probably uses sex as a means, too, to get things that she wants as well, too. The other thing, too, is that somebody hurt her a long time ago. And she hasn't fully recovered from that, whatever.
Her nostrils are really small too.
Oh yeah, so she's tight with her energy and her money. So good job, you learned that. You get a gold star.
Yeah.
So somebody hurt her. Somebody hurt her, but she could be very, on top of the manipulation, we can see that she can be very diplomatic. So when she's talking, you know, to you about something, she'd be very diplomatic depending on what it is that she is talking about with you. And unfortunately has some self-esteem issues. You see that as well too. And the green picture, I don't know if you know what she went through when she went to jail, but you know, there definitely is what we call as liver or kidney exhaustion and or liver blood, liver chi stagnation, which would explain her anger issues. What did she do? Now, the one thing I can tell you is like, okay.
I'll tell you this real quick. Go ahead, Chris.
Go ahead, Emily.
Keep talking. If I freeze up, just keep talking. I'm sorry.
Okay.
I'm good now.
So one of
the, okay.
You're good now.
Yeah.
Okay, let me go. Well, I'm good. Real quick. Chris, the last time you were on the show, you read Hoberger's face. And he's the suspect for the Idaho 4 massacre or Idaho 4 homicides. That's a big thing to do. So this is Emma Bailey. Emma Bailey's tied to that house. She was the DoorDash driver at 4 o'clock in the morning. Arrested. Her partner, she was arrested was linked to another, like, overdose at the University of Idaho. Her partner that's also arrested actually owns a white Elantra the year that the police officers were looking for, other than Kohlberger. Kohlberger owns the same car, but it's like a newer model. But originally the police said that they were looking for this model. The roommates in the home that have lived said that they saw someone that's about 5'9", slender, with bushy eyebrows. I think it's her. I've done a lot of research on who owns that house. It's a big, huge drug ring type thing that's going on. Drugs were going in and out of the house. The cops ruled her out pretty quickly, but now she's arrested. I honestly think the cops might be involved in this too, because the who owns that house, and then her partner, her boyfriend, or well, she was pimped out. She did sex and stuff too for money. He was also arrested, and she's 22, he's 36, and he owned the white Elantra 2011 when Kohlberger owned the 2016 or 15 white Elantra. I think she has a lot to do with this. I think they have plotted and planned, and Kohlberger might have known or might have been connected in some way, but I don't think he actually did the murder. I think it's her and the guy that she was with.
Wow. Yeah, so the drugs, that explains now the darkness around the eyes and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And you said pimping. So I mentioned about, she uses sex in order to get things that she wants or whatever. Yeah, and we could tell that because of the shape of the lips as well as the subtle little dimple in her chin. That tells us that as well. But she had years of tears. So whatever caused her to go down this path, if this is, her, what she did, she participated in this. She did suffer years of tears growing up. And for any addict, or gets involved with drugs, most addicts use substances in order to cover up their pain, right? Or use sex to cover up their pain. So, so it would make sense. And like I said, she does have a broken heart. She was hurt, and it's not been fully resolved.
And I don't know. To me, she looks like she has those dead eyes.
Yeah. Well, especially in
It's just blank. It's just blank.
Well, she's angry. She's angry and she's hurt.
Okay.
So her mind is disturbed, yeah. And depending on what was going on at the time of the photograph on the left in the jumpsuit, that will change things, But kind of looking at the one on the right, at that picture, she doesn't trust. She's very critical. She's critical of others. Her mind looks a little bit more intact in that picture. You definitely see, because what's interesting is that the picture on the right, you say, oh, she's kind of attractive, but if you look deeper, then you say, oh boy, there's trouble underneath that skirt.
Yeah. Juice ain't worth the squeeze on that one.
Yeah, run, Forrest, run.
Let's go to the next one because that plays right into the next one. Run, Forrest.
Oh, look at this guy.
Tom Sandoval off of Vanderpump Rules. What do you see by this guy's face?
Okay, so so mommy looks like mother had the most influence.
That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, mother had most of the influence. He's what we call as a wood type, which means his liver governs him. So his go-to emotion is anger. So he's probably very creative also, probably has a very creative aspect of him as well too. He also doesn't really trust right away. Like if he meets you, he doesn't really, he's not going to really trust. Now his nostril size, as well as the size of his lips, probably when he gets to know you, he's more generous or more giving. According to his ears and stuff, he should have a long life, as long as, he doesn't die from cancer or anything. But yeah, there are some past regrets. I don't know if they're a little bit of addiction issues. I don't know if that's true or not, because I don't know who this guy is. And he's also somebody that, boy, once he sticks his heels in, makes a choice on something, it's going to be hard to move him. He's stubborn. He's stubborn. It's going to be hard to move
him. How can you tell that he's stubborn? What are you looking at?
He has a strong chin that protrudes slightly. Now, I know I'm not seeing a side view of him, but I'm sure if I saw a side view of him, you'd see that chin kind of protrudes out a little bit. So it means he has a lot of testosterone as well, too. But also, too, you combine that with his brow bone and his eyebrows, and that also tells us. And because of the lighting on the face here, you can very vaguely see the anger lines on both the right and left sides of his face in between the eyebrows.
The little lines right here.
Yeah, so he stores the anger, but he will definitely explode as well, too.
Will, you know who Tom Sandoval is?
No, I have no idea who this guy is.
Oh, man, Vanderpump Rules, Bravo TV. Like, go to Twitter, look up Tom Sandoval on Twitter. It's like one of the most explosive reality TV things that's happened over the last 3 months.
Really?
And, his mom is very prominent in his life. I'll just tell you this. They opened a restaurant. She even gave him her retirement to open a restaurant. So he's very close to his mom. He does have anger issues. That's probably the only emotion he ever shows is anger. I don't know if he has dead-eyed, but I know him from the TV show, but he is very creative, though. He is creative.
Yeah, so he
has
the
own band and opens some restaurants.
Oh, see, yeah. So that's the thing about the wood. You think about a wood as being not petrified wood. You think of the young sprout breaking through the ground. It's creative, like it's expansive. And that's what wood types do, is that, like, he should be in charge. He should be the leader of the band.
He couldn't handle anybody else being in charge. I'll tell you that.
No, okay. So see,
He can't have a boss. He can't have a boss.
Right. Yeah. So what his learning opportunity, this goes for all wood types, is to know when to, number one, and this applies for all of us, but know when to be silent and know when to speak, know the difference between that. And then also, too, knowing when to say, okay, well, things a lot of times work better if I let go of control. Because you see how controlling he is, right? You see?
He's not ever going to let that go.
Well, maybe after he sees this, he will. He'll call me and say, Chris, what can I do?
I'm gonna make a segment out of this. I'm gonna post each one on Twitter and stuff because I do a lot of reality TV and stuff over there.
Yeah, please tag me on Twitter. Please tag me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we will. So now, Will, do you have any follow up with Tom Sandoval? Do you see anything?
No.
Want to say anything? Okay. So here's the next one. Same show, Vanderpump Rules, and this is Raquel Levis. That's her show name. Her real name's Rachel. She has a real name named Rachel. We just found this out over the last 3 months. Her name is Rachel, but she's gone by Raquel for many, many years. So that's kind of a red flag to me. But here we go. What do you see with her?
Uptight. No, it's anal retentive. No, I'm just kidding. Well, kind of. I kind of not. No, see how small those nostrils are and see how skinny that nose is there? You know, she also somebody attractive, but those big, what we they call those cow eyes. So when she walks into the room, she's able to pinpoint everything that's going on in the room. She's able to pay attention to what they're doing over here, what's going on over here in their conversation and stuff like that. Plus also she's listening as well too. She obviously you could tell because of the placement of her ears that she has stepped into her potential, or stepping into her fullest potential as far as career goes and such. But again, she's just, you know, she probably has a good sense of humor, and will laugh at things easily. There's an underlying though, just, irritable. I call them angry Smurfs.
That needs to be a t-shirt you sell.
Angry Smurfs.
Angry Smurf t-shirt.
Yeah. So she's a charmer, though. She's a charmer. Oh, yeah. She's a charmer. And those dimples, you know, will get her access to many different opportunities and such, you know. But conservative. Again, she's... she might be passionate or romantic to somebody she's very close to, but overall just very much conserves her energy. So her stamina is not that good. So she probably needs to take a lot of time to relax and recharge as well too. So I wonder, as we're talking more, if she has any kind of subtle underlying depression as well. So.
Oh, she does.
Oh, she does.
Oh, yeah, she does. So between her,
you're on and point tonight, Chris. Yeah,
what's that?
You're on point tonight.
Yeah, he's on point. He is absolutely on point. Between her and him, do you see anything that deals with deception? What do we look for in people's faces that might indicate some kind of deception?
Well, first of all, it's going to be the slant of the forehead. Okay. Yeah, the slant of the forehead. The shape of the eyes also will kind of tell us as well too, and see how her inner canthuses are kind of sharp as well, especially on the left side. So if you notice her left eye, same with his left eye and his right eye.
His is real sharp.
Yeah, so he's got a sharp tongue. So that means what that means with both of them is that once they get to know you, they will purposely use words to hurt you. Think of it like a pitchfork. They will so they don't even have to scream and yell at you. They will find things that they see are your deficiencies and then use that as an attack. It's like a needle. It's like an ice pick, right? But on both of them, if you see, their left and the right sides of their eyes don't line up. They're not the same size.
Right.
So what that's telling us is that what they feel on the inside, which is on the left side, isn't aligning with what's showing up on the outside. And if they are celebrities, that would kind of make sense also because, if they're having to play a role or something. But also I'd wonder in their day-to-day life if they're not acting in accordance with their true self, their inner self, and what they project out to the world. Hmm. Again, attractive woman. She's, I'm going to say she's either what we call as a water type or maybe even a fire type, which if she's a water type, that'd be more kidneys controlling her. Not fire. I'm going to say a metal. Sorry, metal. So which means lungs. So metal types, the interesting thing about them is that they like to show up appearing that they're completely put together, even if they're not.
Oh, she's not. She's not. Neither is him either. So
in real life,
her best friend was his lifelong partner. They were together for 9 years. They had a super duper big affair. Like, everybody go, Vanderpump Rules Reunion Part 1's already out, but Reunion Part 2 is going to be coming out this next week on Peacock. But it's a reality TV show, but this is like the Tom Sandoval, we call it Scandoval. It's like the biggest, you would never think that these two would do anything, because she's like 26 or 27. He's 40, over 40. She was her best friend. Like, I'm floored by it. And it is absolutely split. I don't know if this is scripted or not. If it's scripted, these people are freaking geniuses. But I have never been so consumed in my life with Vanderpump Rules. And it's a show, it's kind of like Jersey Shore that I grew up watching. And I got to still watch Jersey Shore Family Vacation. Like, this is Vanderpump Rules. I got to still be in it.
Yeah.
But she plays off her teddy bear eyes, I think, a lot. She knows how to manipulate in many ways.
Yeah, those dimples.
Yeah. She knows how to manipulate.
She's also diplomatic as well, too. So as my wife's father would say to her, because she has the same tip of the nose, he would say, "Are you blowing steam up my ass?" Oh, no. Are you giving me lip service? I'm sorry. My interpretation was, "Are you giving me lip service?" Yeah. So good lip service. She's good at good lip service. My wife is amazing at lip service. So so that's how I can recognize this as well, too. But anyways, it'd be interesting to see, you know, and the thing about reality TV being here in Hollywood, in LA, is that, you know, when you do a reality TV show, it is a lot of times scripted and characters are made up and they're they're expanded upon and such. And unless you're paying for your own series where you get to say what's going to happen and what's not. So it'd be interesting to see. But you definitely tell whether or not, even if it's not in character, you definitely tell that there's probably some kind of underlying depression, some type of subtle manipulation, and she's only going to give to people that she's very close to, mm-hmm. or trust.
I got three more, but we'll just do two more real quickly, because we got two regular viewers that emailed me with their pictures, so I want you to read those too. So here we go. The next one, her name is Teresa Judice.
Who's this? What are you doing to me?
You tell us. Good Lord. I don't know what this is. It's mutated.
Listen, I know. Serious question.
Okay.
Serious question. Chris, I know you're a face reader, but when the face has been manipulated so much, how can you face read somebody like this? Like, how the hell can you do that? Because I'm sure that throws all the rules out the window, right? I mean, because look at this lady. I mean, God almighty.
Is it a lady?
It's a lady. She used to have a widow's peak that came down halfway down her forehead, and she got all that lasered off, too.
Oh.
Like, that's Teresa too bad. Judice. And I will tell you this. She spent time in prison.
Okay. So, strong personality type. That makes sense. Strong personality type. Controlling. Very passionate. Even though I can't see her nostrils, she's probably very generous, especially family. In the bedroom. She's probably very generous, you know, a very generous lover.
She's got a lot of kids to say.
There you go. Yeah, very generous lover. She's definitely somebody that could take care of herself, but she does enjoy the creature comforts in life as well, you know. And so the thing is, when people change their certain features on their face, it will change certain personality aspects of them, especially if it's permanent. Like, Botox is not permanent, and they say that it breaks down, et cetera, et cetera. But the reality is that if the line that's showing a certain emotional trait is still there, the reason why the Botox doesn't work is because they haven't fixed that emotional trait. Mm-hmm. Now, if you go in and you make surgical changes on your face, you know, for example, so a large nose, for example, is generally a sign of somebody that's powerful. Mm-hmm. You see people with bigger noses, they tend to have more stamina, more energy. And the bigger and the fleshier the nose is, then the more, I guess you would say, the more power that they strive for, you know. So like we saw with Michael Jackson, as I'm not saying, I don't know Michael, but as he started to make his nose smaller, what started to happen to him? Now, some people could argue with me on this, but the reality is, is that he started to lose a lot of, you know, a lot of things in his life. And so in this case here, you know, unfortunately, because, you know, the widow's peak is actually a good, is actually, it may not be attractive. I get it. But from a face reading standpoint, it's, it means that they use their logic and such appropriate, they apply it appropriately and know how to, and know how to use their brain in a way that actually will connect others and make them more inviting. So that's the sad thing about changing that feature. You know, she also has sharp inner canthus. Her are very pointy. So again, the thing of it is very strong brow bone. And when you see those eyebrows, anybody see the eyebrows that go down like that? That's anger. I mean, it's anger, even if they paint them on.
Okay.
Even though they paint them on. So,
all right. So everybody listening, just paint your eyebrows up. We don't need any hate.
You're surprised all the time.
Next week, you're all going to see me. You're all going to see me like this. It's going to be like Heaven's Gate.
So she has money bags also. So she has money. This gal has money.
Oh, she has money. She does have money. Okay. Yeah. Next person. This is it. And then we're going to go to our live watchers. We have two people. We have Eddie Moore, and then we have Lori Barnes that submitted photos tonight. So this is the last one. We are going over since we were late going live, but this next one, Louis Ruelas. I think of Zoolander, but what do you think about this?
Hedonist personality type. I mean, he's introverted, so he's a wood type also. He uses the positive thing about him is that he has great stamina. He uses every part of his brain when he thinks, which not everybody does. He's a thinker first, and then he relies upon his gut second. He should, as long as his blood pressure is okay, he should have a long life. But if he doesn't deal with those anger issues, then we're looking at strokes, potential for.
Is there any indicator that we can look at someone's face and think that, like, react to them being a liar? Or a fraud or a con man?
Oh, yeah. No, he's not honest. And we could tell he's dishonest because of his lip, his mouth. See how his mouth is kind of crooked? Almost it looks like the Joker. Mm-hmm. Remember the Joker from Batman?
Yeah.
So that line shape of the lips is what tells us that he has propensity to be dishonest. And And he's only going to listen to what he wants to hear. So, like, if you try to tell him something and he doesn't want to listen to it, he's like, "Oh, screw you. You know, I'm going to just take what I want and that's it."
Well, just real quick, this is the Real Housewives of New Jersey and he's married to Teresa.
Wow.
Oh my gosh.
They must have an explosive marriage. Passionate marriage, too. I mean, because without all the anger is a lot of passion. So, but it's both sided. But you see, he's probably also very creative as well, too. So
I think he is in many aspects, but there's a lot coming out with him and on the Real Housewives of New Jersey Bravo reunion. He even paid a private detective to research everybody that's on this show. Like, it's a big, huge thing. He actually did. And his company's being investigated now for missing funds. And stuff. I don't trust him at all. I trust Teresa more than I trust him.
Well, because his eyes are shifty too. So, So there's a number of things. So yeah. So when you meet people, the key about applying what we're talking about, and by the way, me joking around, I love to be lighthearted, and I'm not trying to be disrespectful to any of the people that you've shown here tonight. I do like to play around a lot, and But the reality is that when you are in a relationship or a working relationship with somebody, if you know some of this stuff ahead of time, yeah, the Joker-like grin. I just saw somebody say a Joker-like grin. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. That's what I'm saying. That's a liar. That's how we tell a propensity for dishonesty. But when you're going into business or other relationship with somebody, then, you know, some of these features, like, okay, I'll give you an example. If let's say you're going into a relationship with somebody and you see, okay, well, this person is really controlling, but has money bags and is giving of their money. Some people may say, you know what? I can handle being controlled and told what to do a little bit as long as I get that money. It just depends on what's important. What are your values? So what my values are may obviously are going to be different from somebody else's. So for me, like when I met my wife, the first time we met, the main thing I looked at is temperament, because I'm Sicilian and Panamanian. So I tend to be a little bit fiery, you know, and so I need somebody that has a even keeled temperament, you know. So that was my first thing. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, this is one of our faithful followers and listeners to the show or watchers of the show. Her name is Lori, and she submitted her picture on email. So, hey, Lori, what can you tell us about Lori from her picture she sent in?
Okay, so first of all, I'm assuming that Lori has given me the okay to, and I'm saying, I'm going to say this stuff as for educational purposes in order to enlighten her to go deeper. Because the other part that we haven't talked about is that I teach Qigong classes, and Qigong is the foundation of Tai Chi. And the style of Qigong that we teach is for mental health.
Okay.
Because mental, emotional stress, besides poor diet, is the leading cause of death and disease. It's not that the emotions are bad, it's when they're not expressed appropriately. So, so she's generous. She has great stamina. Also, same kind of person that definitely can take care of herself, but she doesn't mind creature comforts like animals and you know, some of the luxuries of life. She could definitely do that. So health-wise, I wonder if there is a propensity for diabetes, blood sugar issues, maybe fibroids. She has a reluctancy to cry because she's been through a lot. This woman's been through a lot. And so when there's reluctancy to cry, and the person will say, well, I cry all the time. There's still tears, old tears that haven't been shed. And then as a result of this, then what happens is that that also too, there's a lot of old anger and resentment, and it looks like towards a male figure. It could be a father figure. Doesn't have many friends. Well, I'm not going to say that. She has friends, but she's going to want to do things herself, because she's not going to want to pay back the person back, you know, like have that hanging over her head. She's like, nope, I'll just take care of it. I'll run with it. She's a good listener. So she's somebody, if you want to talk to about something, she will listen very well. She also should have a long life, as long as she looks out for her, you know, making sure that her blood count is healthy, that no diabetes or no propensity for fibroids and blood pressure issues. And even though we can't see her nostrils, she can be giving to people that she's close to. She's not going to be just handing out her money and stuff like that. So she can be giving to people she's close to.
I'm back. I'm sorry. It just keep going. If something happens to me, we got till about about 4 more minutes actually. Or 8 more minutes.
Yeah, I think the fun thing
is I am calling. Go ahead.
Yeah, I think the fun thing is that, appreciate her being brave enough to share her picture like that for your audience. That takes a lot of courage. It would be interesting to be able then to have a candid conversation with her about how accurate I was or inaccurate. But a lot of things that I was reading, I'm sure if she was to dive deep, she'd say are accurate. You know, and the face always changes. And that's an interesting thing. Like the two most changeable features on the person's face is their eyes and their lips. Eyes and their lips. Yes.
Eyes and lips. So when you are doing your Tinder swipes, make sure you look at the eyes and lips. Now, this is a little bit blurry. His picture came in. It was super small. But this is a regular viewer of us, Eddie Moore. He watches and shares the show out. So we appreciate Eddie. What can you tell us about Eddie?
Kind-hearted. Kind-hearted. Can definitely get angry and such. He has something that haven't seen in any pictures, but he has a spiritual openness. So his connection to God, source, or just understanding that there's something bigger, that's definitely something that's very subtle on him. He also has good stamina. He has to watch out for high or low blood pressure, though, so he has to be careful of that. And he's a good listener as well, a good listener. Has a lot of stamina as well, but my recommendation too is that he not be so hard on himself. He's very critical of himself, and to let other people, you know, sometimes it takes a team. It takes a team to build something and to let other people in to help them out with things, you know. So also very driven. He's also very driven as well too. So that's the other thing as well. So
Lori's making comments too. Thank you. He was right on everything. Lots of abuse and grief.
Yep.
Grief. Yep. Everything is right on. Health was right. Thank you so much. And she also says, I love animals. And then your wife's on here too. Wow. Thank you for sharing. So real quick, before we let you go, Chris, you have a class coming up. I've had it go on the description of the show. If anybody's watching via any of the social media, it's going to be there, but it is, if you're listening via 107.7 FM, it's, secretsofthefaith.com to go onto Chris Shelton's page to sign up for your class. And if you don't, people a little bit about what this face reading class is all about.
Yeah. And you know, this ancient art, you know, we want to take with respect, and people that we don't want people to abuse, use it abusively towards other people in a way to control or manipulate other people. And so we want it as for educational purposes, really to dive in deeper in yourself. And then the cool thing is then you say, okay, Chris, well, I do have this grief. How do I process it? Then I give you the tools. Then, you know, we have the Qigong practices. I have a whole YouTube channel with all these practices for free on there. We could always do a Zoom call, Zoom appointments, you know, or whatever. So yeah, it's a fun class. It's going to be a lighthearted class. We're all there to support one another and to learn and have fun. And the scary thing is that by the end of the 6 weeks, you'll be able to read my face. Oh. Maybe I'll go get some Botox before that last class.
I'm checking this. So this class, is it live then, or is it pre-recorded? It's a live class every week, right?
Yeah, it's a live class for six.
And what
Wednesdays
days is that going to be available on?
So it's a live class every Wednesday, or for six Wednesdays in a row, starting June 14th from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and it's going to be live on Zoom. So you can take this class on Zoom and get the same benefits and learning opportunities as if you're in person, because we teach a lot of combo classes of Zoom and in person. So we've kind of mastered that art of being able to make the participant who's joining us feel like they're part of the class as well too. And and it's going to be fun because the first class, number one, we're going to look at facial shapes and tell what organ governs them. And the important thing about that is that it's what are your strengths in that personality typology? And what's even more important is that when you deviate from those element typologies, the indication of disease. And so that's the important thing. So we're going to be looking at certain lines on the face, what they mean, you know, like if somebody flirts a lot and you want to flirt back, how to observe that, you know, we could tell things like, all kinds of things. We're going to tell the different zones of the face, class number 1, 2, whether the person's a thinker or they are a practical person or they make decisions from their gut. And then from there, then the next classes we'll be diving into the different features, you know, for example, like the eyes. One of the classes will be the eyes and the brow bone and eyebrows. And one of the classes will be on the plethrum, the philtrum, the chin and the ears, you know, relating to the kidneys. Okay. And so, yeah, so a lot of good fun stuff.
Well, we appreciate you and everything. This is a part three show, which very rarely happens. Will can tell you too. He's been with me for a long time. Very rarely do we have a part three. We appreciate you so much. Any more, the last picture, wow, ride for Lieutenant Firefighter Paramedic. So you got him. Everybody, please, please, please go to secretsonthefacetheface.com. Sign up for his classes coming up starting in June. You will not be disappointed. I'm going to check into it myself. I need to learn these things because I think the class time would be 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, according to Pacific Time. And real quick, your website, too, that you have is SheltonQigong.com. Qigong.com, right?
Yep.
Qigong.com. So we appreciate you coming on. Thank you. We're going to have you back. It's going to be a part four. Okay. It's got so many faces I want to go through.
Well, you guys are a lot of fun. So I love doing this with you guys. So thank you so much for making it fun and inviting me back on. Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Thank you so much. You all have a great, wonderful Memorial Day weekend. Anyway, there we go. Chris Shelton.
Qigong. There you go. Qigong. Man, he is on point. He was so on point tonight. Yeah.
He is.
Yeah.
He is. It's amazing. I've learned so much about face stuff. I just wish I could pack him with me in my bedroom at night when I'm going through Tinder. And maybe I drink a little bit of tequila.
Lord, that's tequila. It's messing with your mind. That's what it is.
especially last weekend. But we can't stay on here long. Lord. We start a little bit late, so we're going on late. So thank you, Lori, so much, and Eddie for turning in your images. We appreciate you all. Please, everybody, go check out Chris Shelton. He's an amazing person, inside out, and his wife. And next week we're gonna be spooning.
We're spooning.
What was that? That was like a dong. What was that?
Dong. We're spooning.
We're spooning next week. We're gonna love this lady, Abby the Spoon Lady. If you don't know who she is, you need to go look her up on TikTok. Phenomenal woman. She can spoon like no other. Take it how you want.
Oh my gosh.
We're gonna be talking. We're gonna learn. Get your spoons. Well, you need to have spoons. We're gonna be hands on next week. We're going to be spooning Appalachian style. Appalachian style. I might even beatbox rap. I can freestyle rap.
Just listen. Just get those spoons ready. That's all I got
to
say.
You know what? She needs to have a shirt that says, I spooned with Abby.
There you go. Right?
Abby. So Abby the Spoon Lady, go look it up. It's going to be super fun. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in on 17.7 FM New Orleans. We love you all. We appreciate you all. Thank you, everybody, for tuning in. On social media, please share this out. It helps us. It helps the show. It helps our guests. It helps the network. We love you all. We'll see you next week here Friday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a wonderful, awesome weekend with your family. All the schools that are out now. No school. What is it called?
School's out for summer.
Love you all. Have a good night.
Have a good night.